What does it mean to give God what is God's? And what stops us? What gets in the way? So firstly, what is God's? What does it mean to give God what is God's? Does that mean giving him our Sunday mornings? Does that mean giving him 10% of our income? Or is God actually asking for something else, maybe something more? I think the Bible is clear that God doesn't want us to give him a portion of our lives, if you like, him to fit us, to fit him in a little bit. But actually, he wants us to give our whole lives to him. Now, that sounds like a grand concept, doesn't it? Giving our whole lives to God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to give God what is God's? Well, firstly, it means that God and our faith becomes a priority for us in our lives. So when we have a decision to make, which we will have every single day, then we ask God and we pray as the first thing that we do. And when we do that, we're willing that God will speak to us, willing that he might challenge us. It means we live our lives in accordance to the Bible and the things that it teaches, even when those things are difficult. And let's be honest, if we've read the Bible, there's a few things in there that are difficult. It's difficult to love our enemies. It's difficult to forgive. It's difficult to do those things. And the Bible says things which is totally countercultural to the world around us, but yet they're God's best for us. Individually, as we go about our daily lives and as we make plans by ourselves as a family, it's asking questions of not just what is good for me, what is good for us as a family, but actually, does God have anything to say about how we spend our time, about our plans? And what is the best for others as well? Now, this can be simple things. It can be when we're going shopping and we're down the tea and coffee aisle. Then what coffee do we choose? Do we choose the one that's cheapest, that's on offer? Do we choose the one that's the best tasting? Or do we choose the one that has a little symbol that says the people that made this coffee are going to be paid a fair wage for doing it? It could be when we're thinking or planning as a family the next week ahead. Maybe we're planning what we're going to do or we're planning what we're going to eat. We could think, who could we invite for dinner when we have this roast next Sunday? Who needs some company at the moment? God, who are you highlighting? Who could we maybe make a meal for? And I know as a church we've been feeling challenged on this area of hospitality. So I think this is a good thing in this season for us to be asking, who can we spend time with? Who at the moment is in need of company or to be blessed by being with people? And just allowing God to respond to our everyday decisions. And maybe when we pray that prayer, the person that comes to mind is not the obvious person, but maybe God is highlighting that they need some time with us at the moment. I remember there was a point last year when someone from the congregation just turned up and rang on my doorbell, and they'd arrived with a hot meal. It was amazing. And they said, I noticed you and I thought that you were looking tired, so I've come and bought you a meal. Now, I don't know what happened earlier that day. Maybe they prayed and asked God what they could do. Maybe as they're making the meal, I came to mind. But either way, it was a massive blessing for me, for someone who had gone about an everyday thing and yet allowed God to use that. Similarly, as I said earlier, with all the meals when Joel was born, it's allowing us to be family together. And I think the situation for most of us is that we want God to have the whole of our lives. We know that he should be at the center. We know he should be a priority. And yet, there are things that stand in the way of that happening. Now, we're not perfect, let's be honest. So for us, this will be a reality for a different degree than each other. For some people, there won't be many things that stand in the way. For others, there will be more. But for all of us, there are lessons we can learn about areas that we can give our lives more over to God. So what stops us, or what gets in the way of us being able to give God what is God's? Maybe it's that we don't know, we don't understand, or we don't fully believe the goodness of the gospel or the message of Christianity. You may be like me, and you may be a natural skeptic. I often don't try new things. People tell me, oh, this new thing's come out, it's the best thing ever, you should try it. I don't believe them. I'm naturally a skeptic about that. So what that means is I end up missing out on something until kind of it's a little bit further down the line. And sometimes I think we can look at the message of Christianity that says we can experience forgiveness, we can experience freedom, hope for our future in a world that really does need hope. We can experience healing from the past hurts in our lives and live a life of meaning and purpose. And sometimes we can hear that and we think, that is just too good to be true. Or maybe we experience the prayers that we pray to God being answered in a way that we had not hoped they would be. Or maybe they feel ignored. And suddenly we don't trust that God is as good as we thought he was because he didn't answer our prayer like we hoped he would. Now, this is understandable because it's painful when that happens. And often we don't get to see the bigger picture of God's plan and what was at work and why our prayer wasn't answered in that way. However, God is asking us to trust him again. Or maybe we've never really looked into what Jesus said, who Jesus was, and what it means for us. And if that is you, or maybe if it's been a long time since you thought about it, I would really recommend doing the Alpha course. Many, many people in this church have benefited from it and found it helpful. And it's not just for people who have never been to church or who are new to church, but even if you've been here 20, 30 years and you haven't done it, I would actually encourage you, because I think you will gain something for it. It may cover the basic building blocks of Christianity, but it doesn't cover them in a basic way. I think we can all learn something new about our faith. And if you want to do that, it's starting in January on a Wednesday evening. Or maybe we haven't experienced this freedom and this hope in our lives that Christianity brings, because if you like, we've kind of dipped our toe in the water of faith, but we haven't quite jumped into the pool. So people are in the pool, they're swimming around saying, it's brilliant in here, it's brilliant in here. But we're like, oh, I'm not sure. And we're just dipping our toe in the water. I had what might be described as a parenting win a few months ago. I was sat at the back of the church with my home group, and Imogen was sat next to me. And often she's asking me what's going on in the service. So she points over to here and she says, Mummy, is that Jesus? I was like, looked at the window, said, yes, it is. Ah, that's brilliant. We went on during the service. And then she asked me a few more questions about what was going on, and I got to share a little bit about faith with her. And then after the service, she said to me, Mummy, I want to go and meet Jesus. I thought, wow, I mean, you're only two, but maybe there's a faith that's coming there. And then Chris Heflin-Scott, who had been speaking that morning, starts to walk down the aisle, and she says, Mummy, it's Jesus. And then I realized, when she pointed up at the window, it wasn't actually the window, it was Chris. And I just told her that Chris was Jesus. You know, Chris is a godly man, and you know, we all carry the image of God, but I don't really think that's what she was asking me. And maybe for some of us, it's a bit like that when we look at Jesus. We've got a rough idea who he is, but we've not really seen the real thing. Or maybe our lives feel like they haven't seen the real thing. In the same way, many of us will have been on an aeroplane, maybe over the summer, and you look at it on the tarmac and you think, how can this big lump of metal fly? It's heavier than me and I can't fly. But yet experience shows us that aeroplanes do fly. So we sit on there, and we're pretty confident it's going to take off. And it's the same with God. Many things in our culture point completely in the opposite direction of what Christianity tells us. But yet, as we start to do the things that God has called us to, we gain experience to see that it is the best way to live, where we do experience freedom and hope and forgiveness. And this allows us to trust God a little bit more. If you like, it allows us from... we've jumped in the water, and now we're starting to swim. So maybe that's not the thing that's getting in the way. What about something else? What about fear? Now, fear is big in our culture. Did you know that one of the biggest health conditions on the rise is anxiety? People fearful of the future. And it's a massive topic, so I'm not going to look at that this morning. I think it probably deserves a sermon within itself. But the sort of fear that maybe everyone experiences, a little bit unsure or scared about making decisions or the future. You know, we can see this sense of fear in our society from everyone being worried about being sued. I remember when Imogen was about to get a new car seat, and it was at that time where they were debating, do you have a forward-facing car seat or a backward-facing car seat? And so I said to the health visitor, I said, what do you advise? Thinking I was asking the right question. And her words to me, and this was totally the right thing to say, she was being professional, was, I am not insured to answer that question. I am not insured to answer that question. And I can see why she said it. Professionally, she was doing the right thing. However, isn't it a shame that we live in a culture where experts aren't able to give their advice because we're fearful? We live in a culture where there's a blame, there's a claim. And it's actually meant we all miss out a little bit. I don't know how we change this culture, because a lot of people have made a lot of money from there being a blame in different places, and whether that's the lawyers or the insurance companies or anything else. And individually, we can be fearful. Will I have a job in this financially insecure world? And particularly for us, most of us who maybe have grown up with middle-class values of you need to stand on your own two feet, you need to look after yourself, you need to provide for your family. And there can be so much pressure. We become fearful of the unknown, fearful that we're not good enough or that something bad will happen. Will I ever find a life partner and get married? Will I have enough pension or money to look after me when I'm old? Will I have good health? Do people like me? Am I a failure? Am I not good enough? And we can live with this fear. And society has loads of great answers for this. Fear is a good motivator and a good marketing tool. You can get the right financial package or pension plan, join a dating agency, join a private health insurance, buy Olay, and always look 25. But just like the old pound coin, these things don't really have any long-term value, as they won't remove our fear. Temporarily, they might make us feel a bit better. But ultimately, the antidote for fear is faith and family. God places us in a family here in the church, where we are loved and we're accepted, not because of what we've achieved, not because we're the best train driver around or artist, not because we own a big house, but because we're brothers and sisters. In Luke 10, it reminds us that if we follow God, we'll receive 100-fold mothers and brothers and sisters. Because that's what it's like to be in the family of God. What this means is, as we look around this morning, we're each other's mother, brother, sister, child. And we're here to look out for each other. Because that was what God calls us to do. Because that is giving God what is God's, giving him our lives. You know, when Joel was born, he was tongue-tied, which is this condition which basically means feeding is excruciatingly painful and quite difficult to do. And I haven't asked if I can say this, but Leslie was amazing. She came round my house and basically stopped me having a screaming baby. It was a way that she was family, way that she was looking out for me. She was being my sister in Christ. Isn't that a blessing that we can do that in a world that is full of fear? We have people who are looking out for us. For some of us, maybe the fear is finances. Maybe if we do what it says in here and give to God what is God, our fear is, will we have enough? Will we have enough to live on? And this fear stops us trusting God. Maybe for us, a personal issue at the moment is we're trusting God in the vacancy. Will he provide the best vicar? And as we've been inputting into the parish profile, which is good, it's good to put our hand to the task and to give our opinion. That's brilliant that we're going to have this advert that people can see what we're about. But ultimately, our trust isn't in that advert, is it? Our trust is in God, and that God is going to bring the right person here. For me personally at the moment, when I, as let's be honest, as a preacher, you have to preach to yourself first. For me, this is, at some point, I'm going to move on with my curacy. And my fear is, God, have you got the right thing that's going to work for me, that's going to work for Imogen and her school and Joel and us as a family? And I can choose in that moment to do everything within my strength to make it happen. You know, I can think, well, when I need to start looking in that year before I become unemployed, if I don't find a job, then actually, will I start speaking to this person, doing that? How am I going to figure out how the nursery stuff's going to happen? And everything within me would want to take that in my own hands. But actually, God is saying, give to God what is God's. Trust me. I will do this. Doesn't mean that I won't use my common sense or skills that I've got, because it's important to do that. But it's important to trust God as well. So what if fear is getting in the way of us allowing to give our lives to God? Well, firstly, I think we need to acknowledge that to God. Say we're sorry. And to start choosing to trust him. Firstly in the little things and maybe in the bigger things. Which is very easy to say and very hard to do. Maybe ask someone to pray with us. God, will you help me to be able to trust you, to give to you the parts of my life that you're asking for? So this morning, let's think about what it means to give to God what is God's. Let's think about what it's going to mean for us, what our next step is, and the things that are getting in the way of doing this. And for some of us, the response this morning might be, I need to do an alpha course, actually. I need to work out who Jesus is if I can give more of my life to him. For some of us, God might be nudging us to have some prayer, to work out which areas of our lives we need to give to him. Or prayer for fear in anything, that God can give us peace. And this morning, after, during communion, I've asked musicians to play a song called Inside Out, which talks about this idea of us giving our lives to God. And it might be helpful for some of us as we reflect on the sermon to think about some of the words in that song. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are trustworthy. We thank you that faith in you is life-changing. We thank you that faith in you brings hope, brings joy, brings freedom, brings forgiveness, and brings purpose. We thank you that you enable us to get the best out of life and that life with you has eternal value. Lord, I pray where we struggle in our lives to make you a priority and to make you our first thought, that you will help us to identify the things that get in the way and we will be bold enough to be able to give them to you and to give our lives to you more fully. In your name. Amen.